Welcome to La Liga Weekly. Now sit down, I've got some shock news. If you're driving, pull over, don't operate heavy machinery. This is shock, shock, massive shock news. Real Madrid won with a penalty in the 100th minute.
I wondered where that was going.
I know, you'll find that amazing, I know, but you know, they did. And Oviedo won. That's two entire goals in eight home games now. Barca created an opportunity or two at Elche on Saturday night. 13 big chances, 30 shots, all translating kids into an XG of 6.44. Great entertainment for the family audience watching on the Disney Channel. Can I watch The Princesses now? Shut up, Stuart Robson's explaining why Victor Chus should have tucked in closer to the fullback. There was a competitive Basque derby with a couple of great goals, one from Iñigo Ruiz de Galarreta, whose name speaks of a nobility that his play very often doesn't, and another from a bloke who reminded me exactly of prime Gonzalo Guedes. Villarreal got a useful point away to Osasuna, really handy in their bid to utterly humiliate themselves in next season's Champions League. And on that subject, Atletico Madrid threw off bad memories of Bodø/Glimt with a thrilling goalless draw away to Levante. It's deadline day, and that means Premier League clubs will be out picking up bargains, such as Jürgen Strand Larsen for only £48 million. So I'll help you with the maths here. Per Premier League goal that season, that works out as £48 million.
Do you know what? He's all right, Strand Larsen. I thought he was good at Celta Vigo, and then he had a bright start at Wolves. But that is astonishing, the £48 million.
He's been in and out of the team. He's hardly started, and he's not getting a game, and he's scored one goal. And his value's gone upwards.
Celta are probably fuming they haven't got him back on loan for next to nothing, like Fer Lopez, who went to Wolves for £23 million, I think. Celta are on loan because he didn't play at Wolves.
It's baffling, isn't it? I get why. I mean, Wolves are obviously going down, so it's a bit of a... It makes sense to do a bit of a fire sale now, doesn't it? Rather than in the summer.
You're selling a bona fide Premier League player.
Yeah, but they haven't with Fer Lopez, have they? But with Strand, honestly, £48 million, because Palace have come under some pressure, haven't they? Because they sold some very good players game recently.
Mateta wants to move, and
by the time you listen to this, everybody, Jean-Philippe Mateta, if he's gone abroad, he's gone for some reasonable amount of money. If some other Premier League club has come in from at the last minute, he's probably gone for £300 million or something.
Yeah. Well, Adam has sold Carlos Vicente for £8 million in the end to Birmingham.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around the league. Now, I like Carlos Vicente. I think he's a good player. But I can't see where Alaves would have sold him to another La Liga club for that amount of money.
This is why it's so hard to assess, to come to a figure. I don't know how clubs do it these days, and agents and whoever decides on these figures. Because the question, right, how much is ex-player worth? Because one of our Patreons, Connor, is a Birmingham fan, and he was saying, and you would say, oh, he's a really good player. But how do you value a player when the answer is, who's buying, really?
And Carlos Vicente, I'm looking at the clubs that could pay £8 million, that do pay £8 million for players. Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Villarreal. He's struggling after that. Real Sociedad, maybe. But they were going to buy Carlos Vicente for £8 million. Hmm. Maybe an Osasuna. They just bought Real Muro for a little bit less than that. I think that Victor Muñoz was £5 million. They're the type of club. Rayo don't spend that on players. Valencia can't. Sevilla can't. Getafe can't. It's Celta Vigo. With all due respect, they don't. But they don't need Carlos Vicente. So the market is thin. Mallorca, they wouldn't pay £8 million for Carlos. And I think he's a good player. But then the weird thing is, there doesn't appear to be a lot of money to someone like Birmingham. Mm. People are not raising eyebrows at £8 million in the Championship.
There's so much money going up, isn't there? Middlesbrough have just turned down a bid, don't know how much for Hayden Hackney, but it makes perfect sense to turn it down. Because you go, you know, if you get promoted, it's worth a lot more than whatever it is, £25 million or whatever. So there we are. Anyway, let's get to this weekend's football. Shall we start with that slightly crazy game on Saturday night? Elche 1, Barcelona 3. The XG of 6.44. I don't know if it is a record. You told me it might be a record.
I did read it. It's set some sort of, yeah.
30. Record. I mean, they missed some chances, didn't they? Ferran Torres hit the bar twice with the same shot, didn't they? Right in front of the goal. Came back, hit him, and hit the post or bar again. Frankie de Jong missed one. Rashford missed one.
I mean, Lopez missed the sitter.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was.
What a surprise with the team he picked. I have to be honest.
Yeah. One last thing on the XG. I did a calculation. Barca's XG, right, compared to Rayo, Elche, Athletic, Espanyol, Levante, Atletico, Celta, Getafe, Girona, all of their XG this weekend adds up to less than Barcelona's.
Fabulous.
Yes. It was a tremendous fun.
Pardon?
It was confusing. I tell you how I do feel for it. I will let you explain what happened in the game. But the assistant referee, at least we've got... Because honestly, if you were trying to put your flag up and get it right in this game, utterly confusing, isn't it? Because there are players running from deep. Because everyone knows now the thing is to run from deep. So the defenders are trying to get up to the halfway line and one of them is a bit late. Then there's that two going offside, but there's the third one you have to watch for who's coming. And then they might lose it and turn it round immediately and go the other way. And you think, oh, no, it was offside that way.
It was like some sort of weird football experiment, wasn't it? Look, we're going to try one of these pre-season games and we're going to have this weird experiment and see how this works. And we're considering changing the laws of the game. It was a bold attacking team from Hansi Flick, no obvious holding midfield player. When the team line up, you're thinking De Jong is going to be the holding midfield player, but he wasn't. And one of the best games that he gets his critics, Frankie De Jong. I really enjoyed watching him and Pedri as a pair together this year. Pedri's missing. Frankie De Jong, you're looking and thinking, alongside Fermin Lopez and Dani Olmo in midfield with Ferran Torres, Rafinha, and Lamine Yamal up front. That's going to be De Jong is going to have to sit, and he didn't. And he was fabulous in this game. I mean, Barcelona were good, Elche were good. It's a fun game to watch, and I knew it was going to be because of I didn't expect Elche to change their style. That's what they've been doing all season. It's what they did in the earlier fixture against Barcelona, and they did exactly the same again. I mean, at one stage Barcelona scored early on, but then Elche equalised, and then from then on it was, I mean, they haven't got thrashed. I mean, to a degree you could say it kind of worked. They're not expected to beat Barcelona. They caused them enough trouble. Yes, Elche conceded too many chances, but you could see both teams had a plan, and whatever that plan is, I'm all for it, as long as they've got a plan. And Elche were foolish, stroke brave enough to go with the same plan. It didn't pay off.
Yeah. It's an interesting one, isn't it, as to whether do you need as a... So well, at the start of the season, most of our people's predictions was Elche in a relegation battle. Obviously, they still could be, as they previously are. Discussed, half the league.
12 teams are.
yeah. So should you have... And is it admirable to stick to their guns and play like this... pretty much every occasion, isn't it? You know, whoever they play. Or is it better to have a plan B where you're a bit more boring?
I think, in my opinion, I would prefer as a player to have a coach who believed in something at the start of the season rather than conceding it, changing it here. We're not as good as these lads, so we're not going to play it this week. We're going to play a back five and a midfield four and one up front. And we're not going to look to play at the back. We're going to change it just for this game. It kind of tells your players the signal that I believe in this system, but I don't believe it enough when we play teams that might be better than us, which might be a considerable amount of teams. So then you're playing against 8 teams in one way, 12 teams, 9 teams in another style. So I think you're best off having a style, sticking to it and being brave enough to just use that. You're going to be better at a start. If you pick a style and you stick with it in a system, over the course of the season, you're going to be better with that system than one that you might play half a dozen times a year. So I think, I don't like teams that haven't got a style with it. I'm not sure what they do and how they play. don't have an identity and do change and concede and make concessions when they're playing against teams, and that irritates supporters.
Yeah, they're a good watch, Elche, aren't they? You see, it's Elche in a game. You think, oh, good, yeah, go on, love this.
Exactly. And I think their supporters enjoy it. It got them success last season. They got promotion. I think they'll be okay this season. I think that I've got it, 10 teams, I think, flirting with relegation.
Yeah.
And one or two have broken out that pack recently to climb the table a little bit. One or two teams I never thought would go down anyway, but they were in danger. But it must be terrifying in that bottom half of the league this season. Mm. In 1 week, you can go from 18th to 10th and consequently you can go the other way.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. We've got 6-pointers all over the place. We're thinking 6-pointer in early February.
Mm. Yeah.
Relegation 6-pointer. That's going to happen. We've got so many games left. That's going to keep happening as Monday night, New York against Sevilla. Then.
Yeah, big game, isn't it?
And that changed drastically the bottom of the league as we're reading out this week who's in 10th, 11th, 12th, 14th, 16th, wherever. New York and Sevilla could change that completely this weekend.
Do we have anything else to say about Barca? Because we did the Champions League review the other day. We didn't really discuss Barca as much as the others because they're doing fine. You know, they're finished fifth. That'll do. I always sometimes feel bad about not talking about a team when they play really well because there's no drama.
Yeah. Again, they score three goals, and that seems to be if you want to beat Barcelona, you've got to score three goals. To have any chance of beating them. Occasionally the wheels fall off and they don't get the three, but in general they do.
Yeah, or four to beat them. I think that's how it works, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's... As a neutral, they're great to watch. You know what's happening, you know what's coming, you don't know how good they're going to be, whether they're going to concede too many or whether they're going to take all their chances and score the three that I normally think they're going to score. It might cost them in the Champions League. I still, the defence at the weekend, Kubasi, Eric Garcia, I think he's kind of done with the Gerard Martin experiment as a left-sided centre-back. And he's had to make a concession there that I haven't got one. I've tried the left-back as a centre-back. Eric Garcia deserves to play and he's probably the best partner alongside Kubasi. Araujo is getting a little bit more playing time again now. So I think my take is that, that's the experiment of Gerard Martin can work in certain games. My other take is Cancelo didn't get on. And my other take on that is perhaps Hansi Flick has looked at it and thought, unless we have to.
Get rid of him in the next couple of hours.
Unless we have to, he might just be a good body to be about and to rest players.
Yeah.
But most of the games Barcelona are playing, when they play Albacete in the Copa del Rey tomorrow night, they'd be interesting to see if Cancelo plays in that one.
Yeah, but don't go making too many changes against Albacete.
Exactly.
That's the lesson, isn't it? Let's move on to...
Rafinha missing. He picked up an injury, didn't he, which meant Rashford came on. So Rafinha, but I've looked and all I've seen so far is he's going to miss tomorrow's game.
Yeah.
So hopefully, from Barcelona's point of view and Rafinha's point of view, and us, who like watching him play, he's had a stop-start season. Mm. So it'd be interesting to see how bad that injury is.
Yeah. Let's move on to Real Madrid. More drama. I mean, all you Real Madrid fans are used to drama now, aren't you? So you're watching the game, 97, 98 minutes gone and struggling. And they get a penalty. It's a penalty, isn't it? Mendy's the defender, isn't it? The Rayo Vallecano defender, and he touches it. He goes to hoof the ball, doesn't he? And he touches it with his standing foot, which then moves it out of his own. So he then takes his big air swing and he catches Brahim, doesn't he? He doesn't kick him off the ground, but there's contact.
Kicked him in the stomach, then he kind of kicks him in the balls almost.
Yeah.
With the follow through.
Yeah, you're going to go, all footballers would go down.
Yeah, I thought it was a penalty. I thought it was there was one other penalty appeal. Ratiu put his hands on the back of Mbappe, but they had too many. There was desperation about the amount of appeals. I thought Mbappe could have got booked for a dive. I thought Vinicius could have got booked for a dive. When I say could, they should have got booked for dives. The referee chose not to. I thought the referee was quite strong in the fact he ignored them. And when you start appealing and appealing and appealing, you're kind of inclined to think with a referee, unless it's guaranteed, I'm not going to give it, because you, every time you dribble in the box, you've thrown yourself on the ground. But on that one, the referee was adamant straight away. When you see the replay, it was the correct decision. So my take from that would have been, I don't know where I got the 9 minutes from, if I'm being honest. I thought that was too generous. I didn't see... Augusto Bataille, I think, got booked for time wasting, but quite early on. So he couldn't do it for the last 15, 20 minutes. And there was other players that were warned and got bookings. And I thought that was too, you could tell it was generous, because the reception was from the Real Madrid fans when it went up nine. It was the biggest clamour. It was the only time in the game we didn't have boos and whistles and jeers at players. There was a massive cheer and a round of applause. So even the Real Madrid fans in the stadium must have thought, oh, that's handy. I was surprised that 9 minutes, and we had VAR with the sending off with Paphosis, was done quick. It did. The referee didn't need to go and have a look. He was obviously made the decision, got the message, correct decision. That was it. There wasn't two, you had the substitutions. I thought it was going to be about five or six. But when it went to nine, and it went, then it went on longer because we had more aggro in the added on time. I thought that was the only way that Rayo had a complaint, to be honest.
Yeah, and they ended up with nine, didn't they?
Dives.
Yeah. Well, Cheverry got sent off right at the end, 114 minutes. I was watching it on my laptop, and the well done. The Premier Sports thing quite often switches off. It changes to another programme, obviously at some allotted time. So it disappeared and it came back, and there were two reds by the time.
Pate Sis got the early one,
yeah.
80th minute.
Yeah.
It was an unfortunate challenge, but it was a red. There was, and Danny Ceballos was unfortunate to be on the end of it. He got caught. It was a clear red card. And Chavarria was just being a bit of an idiot. He'd all been booked and then shoved over a player.
Rodrigo.
Yeah. Just when it was, the ball was off the pitch. And that was frustration because Real Madrid had scored by then to make it 2-1.
Yeah. So we need to talk about, remember to talk about positives, Vinicius. We've given him a reasonable amount of criticism this season. We say he should score more goals. And what a goal he scored, Terry.
Brilliant goal. And he was the one that got the biggest jeers. So it's an issue. He had a fantastic run in the opening minutes of the game and then got involved with the crowd as if to say, come on, get behind me and get behind us. And they went back at him, and he probably let his football do the talking. Then he scored the great goal, and that was it. And that was it for Real Madrid. And I'm looking at working on the game thinking, well, Rayo are really struggling. Not this in this particular game, in general, you know, their form is wretched. It's awful. They can't score goals. Only two teams have scored less goals, Getafe and Oviedo, and Rayo don't score goals. And then they got through the first half relatively unscathed apart from the goal. There wasn't too many other threats from Real Madrid. Jude Bellingham going off was important, as of course, going off. And then the change made from Arbeloa from that one after, well, Bellingham's gone off, Ceballos is on the bench, or you could use Camavinga, who was left back, put on Fran Garcia, or you could put Danny Carvajal on, put Fede Valverde midfield. But he went for Brahim Diaz. So that kind of threw the balance a little bit, and it kind of didn't help Real Madrid's form after a bright start. And then the changes, and then the second half came out, and Rayo just were dominant. I mean, Real Madrid, you're thinking all the time, well, they've got Mbappe, they've got Vinicius, they've got Mbappe and Vinicius. They'll do something eventually to score another goal and Real Madrid take the game away from Rayo, but they don't. And Jorge de Frutos gets a really good goal. Rayo weren't content with the draw. And they didn't have to be, because they weren't under loads of pressure from Real Madrid. Arbeloa then makes change after change after change, and the balance of the team completely went. And then that's when the frustration was spilling over, and the atmosphere in the stadium was as you expect. But it's quite funny when you see people booing, jeering and whistling, and they're laughing while they're doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's almost like a bit of banter, a bit of fun, it's a bit of ball. But if you're a player out there and there's, say, 20,000 out of the 60,000 doing it, it makes a noise, and it's, but they're doing it and laughing. It's almost like part of the fun, you know. You paid your ticket. Oh, we can boo and whistle this week. They lost to Benfica.
Yeah,
we're going to have some fun. It's a bit of a sport. And Real Madrid weren't impressive, and it was really messy at the end. You got Gonzalo Garcia playing right wing. We ended up with Dani Ceballos in midfield on his own. Tchouaméni playing centre back because Asensio went up at half time. So you end up with three of the back four midfield players. Dani Ceballos as a midfield player. Then you had Gonzalo Garcia, Mbappe, Rodrigo, Brahim Diaz, and Vinicius on the pitch at the same time. And it didn't work. I mean, they get the goal, they get the penalty, but there was the team, it was all over the place. And I feel quite strongly about this self-inflicted damage that's been done by Florentino Perez on a Real Madrid season. Now, they're a point beyond Barcelona, but we saw the amount of goals they could have conceded against Benfica. We see the goals they could have conceded against Rayo. Courtois making too many saves every game he's playing in. I think Dani Carvajal was needed during this match because they didn't have a leader on the pitch. And Mbappe is the leader. Bellingham had gone off injured. Vinicius isn't a leader. And it kind of needed Dani Carvajal just to come on and lead. Dean Huijsen's getting picked on by the fans. And you know, he was taken off because I don't think it helped him getting substituted just because the fans are booing you.
Yeah. Especially, as you say, if it's not that heartfelt a thing to boo a player at Real Madrid.
No. And then when he gets booed off, when he gets substituted and he's making his way off, everyone's cheering or booing. They're cheering because he's been brought off. Yeah. They're booing because they think he's rubbish. I think this is 20-year-old. He's 20 years old.
Yeah.
And you're now putting David Alaba on. Why didn't you play David Alaba? I don't get why he's another one that never gets picked.
Yeah.
Asensio come off half time, put David Alaba on. No, he's the centre half. We put Tchouaméni back there and shuffle things around again. I just feel quite strongly that they're in a really good, they're not in the ideal position, but it's not a disaster. They're 1 point behind Barcelona.
Mm. Yeah.
In my opinion, they should beat Benfica comfortably.
Yeah.
Whether they do or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I just don't get why there was this sudden rush to sack Xabi Alonso. To the extent Vinicius is getting booed by the fans because they possibly blame him, and they're looking at the mess that's now going on and thinking it didn't need to be like this. They blame Vinicius for the disruption to the season, and he started brightly, great run, then great goal, and a brilliant goal, but then his form went off, and he gets involved with the fans himself. And as I say, it's this weird culture at the moment at Bernabeu, and it could all turn out well. I mean, they've got the players, but I just don't think they've got the leadership in place with a manager who appears to know what he should be doing. And it looks like he's trying to please too many people.
So would you change him now? Obviously, we can't wind the clock back and not sack Xabi Alonso. So what are you doing?
I, from what I've seen so far, he looks out of his depth.
Hmm.
And... But then I don't know what the solution is.
Yeah.
Okay. I have no idea what the solution is now. I think they would have been better off saying, Alvaro Arbeloa is going to take over in the meantime and we'll have a look at it and assess it. So, but they haven't said that, have they?
They haven't really said anything. They haven't announced any contract.
No, but the way he's acting and the way he's behaving and it does look like he's there for this season, and everyone seems to have accepted he's there for this season.
But a few more. I mean, if they hadn't got that late penalty against Rayo, we'd be questioning that more, wouldn't we? And if they lose a couple of games, they lose to Benfica.
Yeah,
it's a very different conversation, isn't it?
Yeah. If they'd drawn this match, it would have been a question.
We discussed this the other day. I think that Dani Carvajal's just simply not fit, and they're just kidding us on by putting him on the bench because he played 15 minutes against Monaco.
Well, he shaking his head yesterday when the fifth substitution was made.
Yeah.
He had the ump.
Yeah.
I get that. I mean, he put it on every. He was shaking his head at the, when the fifth one was done.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe he thinks he is fit enough.
But then he played against the two appearances he's made. The other one was Albacete, where he just he didn't look fit at all. He was involved in one of the goals, wasn't he? Chasing back, and he just honestly looked like
did
an
he
old
start
man.
in that game?
No, he came on.
He came on
again.
yeah.
So he's only had a couple of
I guess
15
you're not going
minutes.
to get fit though if you're not. There's no
Yeah,
list of
yeah.
games to play in, and you're doing training
Yeah.
you know, a couple of two or three sub appearances by now would have helped him get towards being fit. They're playing Valverde at right back, who clearly doesn't. I mean, he was at fault. He was one of the players at fault for the goal. Valverde was no pressure on Gumbau in midfield. And this is just outside the penalty box. And then he clips a ball to the far post to Alvaro Garcia. Valverde wasn't even aware he was there. The header back across goal, and there's the poor defending from the central defenders to allow Jorge de Frutos to get there first and finish off the chance.
Yeah.
So it's not ideal playing. Why is Camavinga playing left back and not Fran Garcia? Or Carreras? Alvaro Carreras was on the bench yesterday. Why has that change been made? Is Arbeloa not fancy Alvaro Carreras? I mean, that was the one I said earlier. You could have put Carreras back on at left back and come having a midfield when Bellingham goes off injured. And
yeah.
Carreras is playing pretty much every game.
Anyway, I've got the same 3 points that Barca got. That's football for you, isn't it? Is there a title race? Atletico Madrid 9 points behind. No. The two entertaining, Barca brilliant and entertaining, Real Madrid dramatic and entertaining, Atleti 0-0 against Levante.
And listen, I'm not defending Atletico. Levante have improved.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching Levante at the moment. I enjoy the atmosphere in the stadium. I think they're at Levante a good watch, but Atleti, with the position they're in, they don't create much. They don't create enough chances. They're making one or two changes, aren't they? Looking, Ademola Lookman looks like he's joining. Players have left. I think they've raised about 75 million again. Conor Gallagher, Raspadori's been and gone. Another one of those Simeone signings that he gives up on and within 6 months. They've got the money in for Rodrigo De Paul that's coming from Inter Miami. So it's been a good transfer window in terms of income. And I don't know what the deal is with Lookman, whether they're signing him or getting him on loan with a view of an option. But it's quite depressing, actually, watching Atleti play this season. But the players they've bought, the players they've already had, there's been no progression. I think there must be question marks now from the hierarchy at Atleti. We've got this dilemma of, before Simeone came, they weren't finishing top four. They weren't top three. They weren't winning league titles. And so it's a different club now. And there is probably a fear of, we could end up like that again.
Yeah.
If we change the coach
and make a bad call. Yeah.
Or there are better managers now that would be looking at Atletico Madrid that wouldn't have looked at Atletico Madrid as a good opportunity over a decade ago.
So who would you have rather than Simeone?
It's a big question. I think rather than what they need, I think Unai Emery would be an obvious one. He would be what they need because they have the quality there now. And you do wonder whether Simeone has got the ability to take this squad on and improve them, because it's happening too much now. Every year, I'm making that prediction. Look at what Atleti have done. They should be challenging for the title this year. They didn't last year. Look what Atleti have done this year. They should be challenging, and they haven't. You said it reminds you of the Arsene Wenger last years at Arsenal, where the club were frightened, they're falling out the top four. Is that enough? Probably not, but it could be worse. We could not qualify. We miss that money. We miss that income. It's a big call for Atleti. They're at the title race now.
Yeah.
And they're not going to win it now. And last week, I was thinking, if they go on a run, yes, and then they draw 0-0 at the Vento.
Yeah.
And they can't afford to do that. So they're not in the race. But they're finished up four. And with Atletico Madrid, think we'll stick with that. It gets us that every year. And they should do it comfortably with the money they spend. But is that enough for them now?
Quiz question, Terry, for anybody listening. I'll tell you before the end. You know, the five UEFA Champions League places are up for the two best leagues, depending on your performance this season's competition. One of them is the Premier League at the moment.
Yeah.
Any idea what the second one is?
No.
I'll tell you in a minute. I'll give everyone thinking time at home.
I don't see, I'm not, nothing smacking me in the face that, yeah, that league's doing well in Europe this year. France haven't got enough teams that, Germany, Bayern Munich, the only one that stand out, Dortmund, Leverkusen, doing all right, but Italy, no.
Keep going. It's none of those.
Bodo Glimt, the Norwegian league. Yeah, no.
Do you want to tell you, has everyone had enough thinking time for the answer to this question?
I'm struggling.
You want to know? It's Portugal.
That was going to be my outside one, but I thought, surely not.
But yeah.
But we can have five Portuguese teams in the Champions League next year.
Yeah.
Which five would they be?
Is it? Well, actually, that's a good question. Because they don't get four, do they? So they don't get four at the moment, do they? So I guess you just get the extra one. You wouldn't jump to five.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, so the extra place at the moment would go. We'll see, because obviously Benfica, Sporting got in straight away, didn't they? In the top eight, didn't they? So,
yeah.
So there we are.
Sneaks into the playoffs. Is that enough?
It's all pretty close. The Premier League is miles out in front, and then Portugal, and then I think it's then Germany, Spain, Italy are really close. And
yeah,
you know, there we are. Yeah. Anyway, so while we're talking about embarrassing yourselves in the Champions League, let's do Villarreal. So they got a 2-2 draw against Osasuna. Conceded a towering header to Victor Munoz, didn't they? The 5'3" winger.
Yes.
Well, he's a bit bigger than that. Gerard Moreno scored two goals in their lovely, actually a really good header, wasn't it? His second goal. And Budimir's on to 10 league goals for the season. He's just what a signing he's been, Terry.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'll look at how long he's been there.
Don't we? Adder is after the age of 30.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got more goals after the age of 30 than he did before 30.
Yeah.
And every season, Budimir delivers.
Mm.
He's getting older and older.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't change.
Yeah.
From one season to the next, he doesn't look any older.
Yeah.
I don't mean, I'm not even sure he got an international cap before the age of 30. And now he's a regular in the Croatian squad, going to, you know.
So he moved.
That to him.
He moved 2020, must have been at the very beginning of the 2021 season. And then, so this is league goals. He went 12, 9, 8. And then the last three seasons, 18, 24, and now 12 halfway through.
Yeah.
Or 10. Yeah, that's all. That must be all comps. He's on 10 La Liga goals. Yeah, so 12. So his goals are going up and up. Like, it's a good comparison, Adderis. He just seemed to get better, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's fabulous, and he's ideal for Osasuna. I think he's really good, and not surprised to see him score again. And he scores good goals as well.
Mm.
I mean, he's a one-touch finisher, by and large. You're not going to see Budimir dribble and beat players, but he's a really good one-touch finisher who's just adapted and learned as he's got more experience. And, you know, if you're Osasuna, he's absolutely delighted to have Ante Budimir. But those numbers... Strand Larsen, 1 million, one goal, 48 million. You couldn't sell Budimir to the Premier League.
Yeah,
too old.
No
resale value.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
We paid the 40, 50, best part of 50 for Strand Larsen. But resale value? Oh well, if he gets two goals, he's got to be worth 96.
Yeah.
But with Budimir's numbers, yeah. I mean, if I recommended Budimir to a Premier League club, they'd go, how old is he? I'm doing this without knowing. I know he's in his 30s.
He's 34, yeah.
Yeah, no chance.
Mm-hmm.
But he might get you 15 goals for the next two seasons, keep you in the Premier League.
Because if you'd signed Budimir 2 years ago, those numbers of 18 and 24, and then 12, then he'd have been a great sign, wouldn't he?
Yes, exactly.
And you could have got him quite cheap. Anyway,
They
there we are.
went sooner. They're in my sort of middle pack at the moment. I've separated it. Top two, title race. Top four probably should be not done, of course, but it looks, as if it's going to be as it is. Then Betis, Espanyol, Celta, Real Sociedad, Osasuna. Then below that, it's a dogfight.
Yes. So
But Osasuna are going all right at the moment.
let's do the dogfight then. So let's do the Basque Derby, shall we? The big Sunday night
It's a dogfight.
game. It was a good old. I enjoyed it, Terry. Enjoyed your commentary, obviously. But it was a scrap. There was a very harsh red card and a couple of really good goals. As I was saying at the beginning, I mean, you're winding the clock back to his early Valencia days, where he had a little spell, didn't he, where he scored three or four goals like this,
Yes,
where
he
he
did.
and he's got a technique, hasn't he, where he really gets his head down and he whips his foot around, and it's long range finish. And then De Galarreta, who doesn't score, November 2023, I had to look up last time he scored a goal.
Yeah. He was so nonplussed after the game. Listen to the interview. And they asked him about his goal. He didn't want to talk about it. He was too shy. It was quite endearing, to be honest, that he talked about the team and the point and the tough time they were having. And tell us about your goal. Yeah, I know. And then he said, I really didn't know what I was doing, to be honest. And he's like, no. And I think it's only his second goal, La Liga goal. I looked through the stats afterwards and Googled him, and it was like one goal. I think it's his only second ever La Liga goal. Prior to that, he didn't score for Mallorca, and when he did, it was in the second division. So you're allowed to get a little bit carried away when you score in a derby, a late equaliser, and a goal of stunning quality. Likewise, Gredit Geddes, fabulous goal. And Carlos, it was looking at Geddes there, it's reminiscent of Carlos Soler said after the game, it's exactly the same as the one against Atletico Madrid. When we were both playing for Valencia, and that kind of went over my head. I forgot that they both played for Valencia at the same time for a spell. Fabulous work from Real Sociedad to get two players of that quality for 10 million.
Yeah, so Geddes was £3.5 million from Wolves. Wolves paid 27 million for him. I wonder why they're struggling. And he's 29. He's had a couple of injuries along the way, so it does affect you. Affects you, doesn't it? If you
They talk about him
as a
being the
player.
signing of the season in Spain.
Yeah.
He's been one of those for value and the goals he's got. I think it was his sixth goal last night. I think he's a really good signing. Carlos Soler is a good signing as well. It was a really good game. Do you know, I appreciate the way the referee called it as well, by and large, apart from one
But then he
decision.
messed it up at the end, didn't
Totally.
he?
I mean, he let challenge Wesley, the new Brazilian at Real Sociedad. I've never seen a player come in with so much fanfare. That's the right saying, isn't it? I'm thinking, oh my God, who have they signed? I mean, he's got about three or four goals in his career so far, and I've seen a few clips on YouTube and stuff. But the fanfare he's come in with, I'm led to believe, God, they've signed him from the Saudi League, I think, on loan with an option. He must have been sitting there thinking, well, I didn't expect La Liga to be like this. There's blood and thunder, and people are slamming into challenges. And Jarraquiza, who I think is a really good player, was just knocking people over for fun. Aaron Beru was doing likewise. He was winning every challenge he went in for against Nico Williams and whoever else wanted to dribble at him. And the ref let it go. And obviously, if there were obvious fouls and dirty play, he was pulling it out. But by and large, and I was thinking, in a normal La Liga game, this game would have been stopped so much more. But because it wasn't, it had a good flow to it. And the atmosphere was brilliant in the stadium. It is weird, though. You do see the people sitting around with blue and white scarves in amongst. And some of them appear to be family. So, it's, and it should be like that. I mean, I get teams have ends and stuff like that where you don't want to venture into that territory. But if you are a family and you're divided, why should you have to go and sit in a different part of the stadium when you want to go with the rest of your family? And not expect to have your head kicked in by someone. We even had a piece of tin foil screwed up into a ball and thrown on the pitch. And it just very Spanish, wasn't it? Where they take their food in and they pack lunch in and discard the silver foil. It was a fabulous game. It was the referee spoiled, not spoiled the game, but he spoiled his performance.
Yeah. Funnily enough, because Paul Campbell got in touch with us, one of our, and he said the referee had a poor game, let the occasion get to him. But yeah, I'm with you. I think most of it was good. And then, so tell us about it's the Brais Mendes red card, isn't it?
That's the one they get. And I have been fortunate to see more footage than what most people would see here. And that's been on Spanish television and social media and everything. In that, what happens is, I don't know what Brais Mendes does. He obviously, I'm not sure what he does, to be honest, but he irritates. And there's a lot of irritating little rivalries between the players. Alex Ramiro winds people up. He was the one the Athletic fans were targeting. He didn't play for Athletic Club. He never, I think, turned down a contract. He wanted a new contract when Kepa left to go to Chelsea. And he was going to be the next one to step in. Wanted a new deal, couldn't agree a deal, so he was jettisoned by Athletic and left to rot for a year while Unai Simon played instead. And then he left and went to Real Sociedad. So, and I think he's wound them up over the years. So he was the big one. But Brais Mendes, obviously, something is there with the players. Off the ball, Harry Giza ran across and really barged into his back. And then left it about 5 seconds and then run past him again and gave another, not as severe barge in the back, but another barge as he run past him. And Brais Mendes ignored it. And then Paredes comes across and shoves him again. And on the third one, and I think we're all entitled to agree, when you get barged three times off the ball, you're going to stick an arm out to shield yourself. And then Paredes, it might have touched his face, it might not, threw himself on the ground, was looking for blood. And the footage I've seen, one of the Athletic players is running alongside the referee, moaning about something, complaining about something. And then there's the big cheer behind. The referee turns round. My opinion, he hasn't seen, and he's just seen Paredes rolling around on the floor and immediately brings out the red card to Brais Mendes and then gives a yellow to Paredes. Might have been communication from an assistant referee who made the call. But then I'm thinking, once you've seen the replay, I'm thinking, well, VAR's gone. This is going to be overturned. It's pathetic. Paredes is cheating. He's cheating. And Brais Mendes had a little complaint. He was ushered off the pitch by some Athletic players and one or two of his teammates to avoid getting into any more trouble. And the game continued. And I thought, well, hang on. Where's VAR? Isn't that what VAR is for?
Yeah.
To overturn a decision that's completely wrong. And it didn't. And the game got on quickly. It was like back in the old days without VAR when it was needed. And then from that point, 10 men, Athletic rallied. They had a real good go. Real Sociedad look a better team at the moment. They look more cohesive. They look slick. They look sharp. They're playing some good football. And Athletic had to eventually go with two centre-forwards, two wingers, be more direct. In my opinion, it's exactly what's needed. I think their style of play has gone stale with Sanchez playing off the front, two wide players, two holding midfield players. It needed like Real Sociedad have changed their style under the new manager. It needed Valverde, not just in that game. Athletic Club need a reset. And I think that's what they did last night. Eventually, it paid off. I said he suddenly turned into Lionel Messi. I think one of his teammates, Unai Simon, said he turned into Maradona. So it was that type of goal. It was a brilliant goal. But he shouldn't have said, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just dribbling and it opened up and I hit it and it went in. And that was a fabulous goal.
Yeah, concentrate on his main task of winning the yellow card competition in La Liga. Right, we need to discuss, Terry, the worst team in La Liga, Espanyol. Espanyol 1, Alaves 2, and they have, let me just double check this, 1 point from 5 games, Espanyol. Alaves have won back to back.
Yeah, and anyways, I'm wondering where they were. I could recollect they've jumped up to 10th on the verge of a European spot, but they're not. As
Yeah.
things stand, I think they're 4 points clear of relegation on the back of two straight wins. Yeah, it's Espanyol had some tough fixtures, tough luck going against them with some decisions, and then it's something that belief has completely. You need to ride that wave, and they did it for long enough. Now, 34 points isn't going to be enough to stay up, but they're going to get 40 plus. But I don't see them finishing in the European spot now. And
No,
as
although there is, yeah, there's a cushion, isn't there? Because you've got Espanyol in sixth with 34. Well, Betis, we'll get to Betis in a minute. So Betis got 35, they're fifth. So there's a 7 point gap then to Villarreal. So the top four, in fact, the top two, and then there's three and four together. And then there's a five, six, seven, who are Betis on 35, Espanyol 34, Celta 33. And then another gap to Real Sociedad on 28. And then it
five.
all starts.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I would say at the moment I would feel that Real Sociedad will finish above Espanyol,
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
and I think Espanyol just didn't ride their luck. They rode that confidence, that belief that came from winning the first game of the season, and then backing it up with some other good results, and that general belief that, well, we're not a relegation threatened team. They probably weren't thinking we're going to qualify for Europe, but they were thinking, well, we're 10, 12 games in, and we're winning games we didn't expect. And I think their last win, probably big win, was at Athletic Club away, which on the face of it is a big win, a big result for Espanyol. And still a surprising result at that stage of the season. But now looking back, Athletic are not very good. So
Yeah.
it's and since then that the results have tailed away, and now it's an important month as well to do it, because Manolo Gonzalez was quite forthright in a couple of interviews I've seen where he was testing the club's ambition. They've got new owners now. He was testing the club's ambition to see whether they would back him in this transfer window. Nothing significant has happened. And what he was saying effectively was, are you ambitious to qualify for Europe? If you are, back me. Or are we just going to be content with, we'll save our money for the summer and see where we end up. And I don't think anything significant has happened. So I think the club have looked at it and thought, no, we'll save our pennies for the summer. See what happens now, between now and the end of the season. We're not in danger of going down. And then we'll maybe reassess next summer.
Right, Betis beat Valencia by 2-1, including it was a saved penalty, wasn't it? But
Yeah, Pepelu's got to be taken off. He's missed too many.
But then loads of Valencia players have missed penalties, it turns
Yeah.
out, haven't they? I didn't realise the commentator gave a lot of stats about it. Who else had missed them? Okay, so, fair enough. But yeah, so late winner for Betis from Fornals, which was an important one for them, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I mean, yeah. I mean, Betis are good, and particularly at home. They struggle away from home. They're quite depressing away from home, to be honest. But at home, they turned on the style. They went behind. They equalised. They were the only team. Valencia weren't bad in this game, to be honest. But Betis were going all out for the victory. Fornals is another one who's. I mean, he's not developed into a good player because he started off as a good young player and he's had a good career. But he's, with the absence of Isco, Fornals is now the star at Betis. And he's overtaken Antony and one or two others that they thought they were going to be the superstar. The Fornals is the main man this season at Betis. And I enjoy watching Betis. I think, again, it helps when the stadiums is, they've made that stadium their own this season. Valencia, Corberan, they've signed these players and he's not playing them. I mean, Copetti comes off injured. Tarragut, who's been injured, was on the bench. And Unai Nunez, who's been playing for Verona in Italy, is on the bench and he puts Tarragut on. And you think, well, hang on. So you got signed Umar Sadiq and he's on the bench. Signed Guido Rodriguez, he wasn't involved, so I'm guessing there's a reason why he weren't involved. Maybe he wasn't signed. I think he was signed early enough. So if you're Valencia and you're Culberan's asking for reinforcements because they're not playing very well, they're not doing well this season, he runs a risk if he's not going to play them.
Yeah.
Put them on. That was the only thing I saw in that. But Valencia were okay in this one. They weren't bad. Wasn't a disastrous performance, but they're still a couple of points above the relegation zone.
Yes.
With Mallorca playing tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's close, isn't it? Right. So there was something else about that game, but I've forgotten. Anyway, never mind. It will remain a mystery. Oviedo beat Girona. Sorry, say again.
Jimmy Avila was lively.
Yeah.
And so been getting some playing time likely to the extent they're saying that Bakambu's possibly going to be leaving.
Yeah.
I thought Jimmy was going to leave.
Yeah.
He keeps saying his farewells to the supporters. He keeps,
keeps
now
scoring.
He's taking a penalty and scoring and waving his farewells, and he looks like they're going to keep him.
Yeah. Betis got through in the Europa League, didn't they? Top.
Yes.
I think they finished fourth. So, yeah, well done to them. So it hasn't all been a disaster in Europe for the Spanish clubs. And actually, it matters. It depends whether you. The Betis. Care. Actually, Betis could finish fifth, so they probably do want the Spanish clubs in general to do well. Because, for example, if Rayo go on and do well and Celta, that all counts equally to the Champions League points in terms of getting that extra place. But anyway, all for another time. Oviedo beat Girona by 1-0. First win since September. Second goal in 8 home games. Having said that, we've been discussing an improvement in their performances in recent weeks.
Very much so. Guillermo Almada, the third manager, they should have been dead and buried by now.
Mm.
The amount of goals they've scored, the amount of games they've won, but they're not. And in recent games, I'm looking at it and thinking, they look all right. You know, it's going to be tough for them.
Yeah.
What are they, 6 points off of safety?
Yeah, 6 points behind Rayo.
15 games to go?
Yeah.
There's a chance.
Mm.
There is. I mean, it's going to be tough for them. But no, they and Girona are, just when you think they're going to join Osasuna and Real Sociedad, where I'm thinking they're not going down, they're too good. Then they lose to Oviedo. And then we hear the news that Ter Stegen is probably going back to Barcelona.
Yeah.
But a window closes.
Because of an injury.
Picks up a hamstring injury, which he had during the game, but didn't come off, didn't tell anyone. After examination, they took him out a 2-month period of absence,
yeah.
Which means that they're probably looking to send him back to Barcelona, which is it's heartbreaking, you know, for any player that's coming back from an injury and you pick up another injury, particularly when you get to a certain age. You know that people are going to question, oh, he's never going to be all right, he's never going to play, you know, it's a World Cup year as well, the holding idea of him going to join on loan to play for the rest of the season and get himself back in the German squad. If he's missing 2 months, that's probably not going to happen. He must be feeling pretty miserable at the moment. And it's tough for him because he's never let Barcelona down, suddenly found himself replaced. Couple of long-term injuries, and now I feel for him, to be honest.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of his contract left as well. He's got two and a half years of his contract left. So it's a problem for Barca as well. They need him, even if they're selling him, they need him to be fit to sell him, don't they? So
yeah, I mean, even if they give him away, I mean, then it's the wages are an issue. And there's no doubt in his quality as a goalkeeper. He's just suddenly developed, become injury prone. When you're out for a long period of time, you keep coming back and getting injured. It's crushing, to be honest.
Yeah. Bellingham, we didn't discuss Bellingham's injury. A month, they reckon.
That's not too bad. And there were, I've read stories saying that he was feeling it in the warm-up, which probably wasn't, you know, he's a young player. Yes, he's got good experience, but probably hasn't experienced that enough to think, I shouldn't play.
Yeah.
I can feel this. I'll report it. But they said he didn't, and he was feeling it. He was showing signs of feeling his hamstring in the warm-up. Again, we're seeing evidence of these players that play so much football. Bellingham's 22 years of age. He probably still thinks, I can play in the Club World Cup, play a whole season, play in the World Cup. have this shoulder sorted out, and I'll be fit for the rest. And then suddenly, I mean, some players do, some. By and large, he has been healthy, apart from the shoulder injury. But it is perhaps evidence, again, that players are getting pushed to the limit now.
Yeah, yeah. Copa del Rey this week, Albacete versus Barcelona. So there's Mallorca-Sevilla Monday night. Tuesday, Albacete, Barcelona, Alaves, Real Sociedad, Valencia, Athletic, and then Betis versus Atletico, isn't it? That way around, isn't it? Yeah,
yes.
Atletico on Thursday. They haven't decided when the Copa del Rey final is. They might be moved from its proposed date and coming forward a bit. no rush. No, whenever you're ready. let us know. Have a think about it and let us know.
We're interested in the Albacete Barcelona one, aren't we?
Yes, yeah.
Just a comparison. And we saw that the facilities, it's going to be difficult for Barcelona. Or is it? We don't know.
Yeah.
Valencia Athletics could go either way. It's a good matchup. Both teams have a history in that competition. Both teams want to do well in it, but both teams are having miserable seasons in La Liga.
Yeah.
So there's no real advantage to pick one there and go, oh, I can see them knocking off. And
Valencia.
Real Sociedad's Alaves' priority probably is still La Liga. Real Sociedad like a cup run.
Yeah, because it's open. Real Madrid being out, I know Barca are the obvious favourites now, but it sort of opens it up, doesn't it?
And Betis, I think, a favourite against Atletico Madrid at home.
Yeah, yeah.
If you ask me who's going to win that one, I'd go Betis.
Right, well, we'll see. So, Terry, thank you very much. Everybody for listening, thank you very much. And yeah, Patreons, thank you for your continued support. Patreon.com/LTEL if you want to pay a few pounds, a few euros, a few dollars a month, and it just gives us some money to spend and buy food with. That's what's at stake here, everybody. Right, thank you very much, and we'll see you for another
I'll
podcast soon.
My takeaways when I'm away working in Madrid.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they don't feed you, La Liga, you know.
I've got some real serious lifestyle questions to solve in the next few weeks. It can't go on like this. I can't go on. There's only so many different variations of. I've got the triple crown near the hotel of KFC, Burger King, and McDonald's. Not a lot else, I have to be honest. Particularly on a Sunday, and walking around, and it's. I'm really asking myself some serious questions, lifestyle issues.
Yeah, walking around an industrial park at the outskirts of Madrid, eating KFC.
Nuggets you can have that not are the healthy option to a Whopper or a Big Mac. So the money comes in handy.
Yeah, there we are. Yeah, join Patreon. We promise Terry won't spend it all on KFC.
On buckets of KFC.
Eating your food from a bucket.
Hotel 11:30 at night after work. What's my life choices? I love my job, but what am I doing sitting in a hotel with eating a bucket of KFC at 11:30? But next week I will, and I have no shame about it because it's Super Bowl week. And
So next Monday will be late, obviously, yes, because Terry will be all bleary eyed, one or other.
Yeah, and my heaviest weight of the year, as always, is the day after the Super Bowl. Then I have a little bit of a health kick for the summer.
Right, yes. Yeah. So you've got to solve your takeaway dilemma in Spain. Right. Yeah. Anyway, on such nutritional notes, we will see you all next week. Bye-bye.